Tomorrow, 24 counties in northern Pennsylvania will partially reopen as the state starts to relax coronavirus restrictions. Preventing new outbreaks in reopened areas will require contact tracing. Yesterday, Governor Tom Wolf announced his idea for getting some of the more than 1 million unemployed people in the state involved.
I am proposing the Commonwealth Civilian Coronavirus Corps, a new program that will expand our ability to conduct contact tracing and testing and mobilize Pennsylvanians to do all sorts of things to contain the COVID-19 virus.
But even before the pandemic hit, Pennsylvania had one of the least funded public health departments in the country, with a pared-down force of nurses and other staff. Why has the state repeatedly made cuts to public health? And could this new program help keep people safe during the next phase of the pandemic? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Aneri Patani is a reporter for Spotlight PA. Aneri, you interviewed several public health nurses for your story, and I know you couldn't use their names because the state has asked them not to speak to the press, but can you tell us what the average day looks like for a public health nurse right now?
Sure. So right now, most of the public health nurses, right, they start their workday by logging into the state's disease surveillance system, and they're doing this from their homes. And what the surveillance system shows them is a number of cases where people have tested positive for COVID-19. And each line, right, each case is someone that they have to call, make sure that that person has gotten the news of the positive test result, and then ask them a series of questions. You know, when did your symptoms start? Where have you traveled? Can you remember every person that you interacted with during the past 2 weeks? And they want to, you know, help that patient understand what they need to do in the coming weeks to quarantine, help connect them to any resources they might need. But then they're also basically trying to get the information of who that person has come in close contact with so that those individuals can be alerted, and that way the spread of the virus can be contained and hopefully there will be fewer outbreaks. And the nurses told me, you know, they never know what they're going to find on the other end of that call, right? Sometimes they call a household and the person is already sick and they're on a ventilator, and so the nurse is talking to their relatives. Other times, right, they're calling someone and the parents and that family have just lost their job and now one of them is sick. And so not only is the family dealing with the medical crisis, they're dealing with the economic crisis. Sometimes they call people and the individuals don't speak English as a first language. And so they have to get a translator on the phone and make sure, you know, sometimes this is the first time that family is getting a lot of information about what COVID-19 is and how they should respond.
So it sounds like they're dealing with a lot. What exactly is a public health nurse? Tell me what they do under normal circumstances and not in a pandemic.
Right. So I spoke with several public health nurses who had retired, including one, Brenda Carl. She was a public health nurse in Venango County for 30 years.
From 1988 until 2019.
And she sort of filled me in on, you know, these are the people who are working to protect Pennsylvania against infectious disease all the time.
Monitoring for health hazards, linking people to services where they otherwise don't exist.
They're located in state health centers all around Pennsylvania. And when there's a reported case of measles or tuberculosis or HIV or a foodborne illness outbreak, these are the people who follow up and make sure that, you know, people know what safety protocols to take and make sure that the infectious disease doesn't spread to more people.
They are your boots on the ground, providing not only for the assessment of the health and welfare of the community at large, but also education and treatment and case management of infectious diseases.
And so how is that different than a contact tracer?
So public health nurses are often doing contact tracing. And contact tracing is literally when you reach out to the individuals who have come in touch with someone who is tested positive for a disease. In a pandemic like right now, there are so many individuals who have tested positive that they need to reach out to first that sometimes they can't get to reaching out to those individuals' contacts as well. So then sometimes there are separate contact tracers who may not have an RN, but still have some degree of training in talking to people about sensitive information. And those contact tracers would make the phone calls to, you know, a person's coworkers or friends or other people they've come in touch with and simply say, you know, you've been exposed to someone with COVID-19 and here are steps you should take. But those people wouldn't, have access to confidential medical information typically.
How many public health nurses does Pennsylvania have right now?
So right now, the Department of Health has told us that there are about 130 public health nurses employed by the state. There are 6 counties and 4 cities in Pennsylvania that have their own health departments and, you know, may have their own public health nurses or contact tracers. But the state's 130 nurses are responsible for 60% of the state's population. And that includes rural areas as well as populous suburbs like Delaware County, which doesn't have its own department. So basically, for the state nurses, there's about one of them for every 56,000 people in Pennsylvania. In the beginning, they were able to keep up pretty well. You know, before the virus got here, the nurses were proactively calling people who'd recently been to China or other countries where the infection was spreading. And the idea was that they would call these individuals every few days or every day and see if they developed symptoms so that, you know, before the virus spread to the community, it could be contained. But of course, you know, as more and more people started getting COVID, the nurses then had to take more steps. So they would hand deliver quarantine letters. And what that means is, you know, they make sure the individual gets the letter and signs that they've received a letter telling them that they've tested positive and asking them to stay at home. And they would also do the contact tracing for that infected individual, you know, basically reaching out to anyone they've come in contact with to let them know. I remember one of the nurses I spoke with who's doing this work, she said, you know, at that time, sometimes the calls would get contentious. Some people who had come in contact with someone who tested positive said, well, I want to get a test too. And the nurses had to say, you know, we don't have widespread available testing, I'm sorry. Some people would get upset about that. But those were sort of the early days. And as the number of cases grew exponentially, you know, by mid-March, we had people who tested positive and had no known contact with other positive cases. So that's what the Department of Health calls community spread. And at that point, you basically can't trace the spread of the virus because there are too many cases. So the nurses instead pivoted to making phone calls. And now they were just calling infected individuals and asking them to pass on information to their contacts, like their coworkers or people they'd been in touch with recently. And at the same time, they're also doing other jobs, right? So they are fielding calls to the Department of Health's hotline. They're consulting with nursing homes and group homes about how to limit the spread of the virus.
It sounds to me like this is not an 8-hour job.
No, certainly not. I mean, most of the nurses I spoke with said they're working 6 or 7 days a week every single week. And some people I called, you know, even said to me, I want to talk to you, but I don't know when I'm going to have a break. I don't know the next time I'm going to, you know, be sleeping or spending time with my family. The sort of recurring theme is that there's just no catching up, right? One of the nurses described to me their screen, right, can show 200 cases at a time to be investigated. But as soon as they make one call and clear it on the screen, another one just pops in at the bottom. And so when she signs on in the morning, there's 200 calls on her screen. And when she leaves at night, there are still 200 calls on her screen. And she said that's been happening for weeks.
Wow. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Spotlight PA reporter Aniri Patani about Pennsylvania's small staff of public health nurses and how they've been overwhelmed by COVID-19 cases. So how did we get here, Aniri? Is this just us not seeing the pandemic coming?
Well, I don't think any of the nurses could say, you know, we exactly saw COVID-19 coming, but the fact that they're understaffed and overwhelmed is hardly new. You know, this is something that they've been dealing with for years and years. I talked to a manager in the Southeast District who said, you know, in the late 2000s and, you know, up till 2013 when he left, they were already so short-staffed that sometimes the nurses had to prioritize which diseases they could follow up and do case investigations for and which ones they couldn't. So, you know, for example, they'd prioritize something like measles or TB or foodborne illnesses that are highly contagious. But sometimes they didn't have enough staff to look at diseases like hepatitis C or Lyme disease. So they were already, you know, rationing people. And then you talk about Ebola, where there was never an actual outbreak in Pennsylvania, an actual case, but public health nurses were proactively calling people who'd gone to countries where there was an Ebola outbreak just to check in with them and see if they developed symptoms. And just that amount of work already required the nurses to work overtime.
Is this basically how Brenda described what being a public health nurse was like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of the stories Brenda shared with me were kind of shocking to me. You know, she said that they were constantly dealing with low budgets, low resources.
You know, even down to simple things like ink for the printers or how many pens you could use.
One time she had to visit a patient with tuberculosis at their home. And this is something that a lot of nurses do, you know, visiting with patients with TB and making sure they're getting treatment.
And I informed management that I did not have an N95 mask.
The types of masks we're hearing a lot about right now. And this was the late 2000s, and she was told, you know, we don't have any extras, just do the consultation outside on the patient's porch in the middle of winter to reduce your risk.
I was shocked. I had to sit and listen to the, you know, what she said, say it in my mind. Again, did she really just tell me to do that? But she didn't give me any trouble whatsoever when I declined, and she proceeded to identify a nurse who did have the proper mask and was able to make the visit.
And so that's the kind of stuff that, you know, the public health nurses have been dealing with for a while. The state has a history of cutting their budgets and asking them to cut corners. It's certainly not new.
So it sounds like this is about money.
Yeah, from most of the administrations that, you know, make cuts will say they're trying to save money. So the first time this happened in a big way was 1996, when former Governor Tom Ridge wanted to privatize the public health system and close all the state health centers where these nurses are based and eliminate public health nurses as a position.
So we mobilized and we sought to involve the public, and at that time in our area, there were petitions circulated and we had over 35,000 signatures on them.
Speaking with Brenda, she drove the 4 hours from Venango County to Harrisburg to talk to legislators about what she did and how important their work was and why it shouldn't be given away to private companies.
I felt it was totally irresponsible of the state of Pennsylvania to abdicate its role in public health to the private sector, because there are many areas of public health that is not feasible for the private sector to do.
So ultimately, at that time, the state legislature passed a law that prevented the closures from going through. But when you look at the system a few years later, there was a research study that found nursing staff had been cut at more than half the state health centers. And already, you know, certain places, it could take nurses several days to respond to foodborne outbreaks because they were just so overwhelmed with work. The researchers even mention in this study, and this is from 1998, that understaffing nurses could make it hard to prevent epidemics in the future.
Wow. And here we are, right?
Right. And so, I mean, nobody is saying that, you know, had we had more nurses, we wouldn't have had COVID-19. But a lot of the nurses and public health experts I spoke to said having more staff and a better funded system would have allowed the state to respond faster and more effectively. And it's because, you know, it's not this one cut that happened in 1996 that's having an effect now. There have been repeated cuts. The states lost funding, federal funding from the CDC, and governors in 2013, Governor Corbett, and 2017, Governor Wolf proposed cuts too. And each time this happens, the nurses advocate against it. Each time they were able to sort of save a little bit of the system, but some of it is lost along the way, right? Nurses leave and then the administrations never refill those positions. So it's sort of a subtle way of breaking down the system over years.
So after all these cuts, where does that leave us now?
Yeah, so as of now, looking at some national data, Pennsylvania has one of the least funded public health departments in the country. So among all the states in DC, we rank 44th. And some people say that has to do with the different types of public health systems across the country. But Tennessee has a really similar system to Pennsylvania where, you know, there are a few local health departments, but then the state is responsible for a lot of the counties. And Tennessee spends three times as much on public health as we do.
Well, this definitely doesn't sound like any kind of partisan cutback. Why does it always seem like this department is on the chopping block?
Yeah, so
I had given that a lot of thought as I made those trips to Harrisburg. Why? You know, what is the issue here? And I do believe that it was a matter of educating the legislators.
When you talk to public health nurses, they find that people don't know what they do. And they don't understand its importance, and that makes it really easy for legislators to cut. It's hard for people to just see because public health is about prevention. And so when you say, you know, that measles outbreak you didn't see happen, like that was because of the public health nurses.
Right.
Unless there's a mistake, unless there's a lack of response, oftentimes people don't know that there's a public health service out there.
So a lot of it is them having to point out to administrators and legislators their value in what they do.
Then could the COVID-19 pandemic change things for public health nurses and state public health budgets?
I think it's hard to say right now, but one thing that is clear is that contact tracing is going to be a really important part of reopening the state. You know, as more people return to work, as potentially kids get back to school in the fall, in general, as the state reopens, you know, it's going to be more and more important to do this work in order to prevent future outbreaks. And it also becomes more feasible as the number of cases go down. Contact tracers can really get in touch with every individual who's been exposed and ask them to take the quarantine measures. The problem is just having enough people to do it.
To reopen our economy to its maximum potential, we will need to boost our ability to contain this highly transmissible virus.
So actually, just yesterday, Governor Wolf announced that he wants to create something called the Commonwealth Civilian Coronavirus Corps. And the idea is there are 1.7 million Pennsylvanians who filed for unemployment right now, and the state could hire them and train them to do, you know, contact tracing and testing work that the state needs moving forward.
The Commonwealth Civilian Coronavirus Corps will reduce our unemployment rate while making a lasting health and economic contribution to our Commonwealth.
How will that work, Canary?
So as of now, the plan is pretty light on details. I think it's probably going to involve partnering with local health agencies and some nonprofit groups that already have volunteers like AmeriCorps. The state said they'll also, you know, continue working with the health department at the state level, the local health departments, and the public health nurses who are already doing this work.
Does the state think the plan will give it the personnel they need to work effectively?
Well, so from talking with public health experts, they say that Pennsylvania needs about 2,000 people to do contact tracing properly as the state reopens. But the state hasn't committed to how many people they'll hire exactly. And with the Commonwealth Civilian Corps, they haven't issued a clear timeline on when they'll be making these hires. So, you know, certainly as 24 counties in the north reopen tomorrow, they won't have hired all these individuals. But, you know, Governor Wolf has said that as he moves forward, he's hoping to get federal funding to support this plan. And sort of as he has more details, he'll be announcing that to the public. So I think right now it's potentially going to address the lack of contact tracers in the state, but we just don't have enough details to really know.
So, Aneri, how about how we value these systems? Does it seem like that could change because of the pandemic? Because if this pandemic doesn't change it, what will?
I think, honestly, that's the big question, right? A lot of the nurses I spoke with were really hoping that this pandemic will change how the public sees their role and how they understand the value of public health. But, I mean, some of them are skeptical.
Do I think that we'll see a change? I'm not convinced. I'm really not.
When I talk to Brenda, she's seen this happen over decades when there have been other large outbreaks. She said, you know, people forget really easily and really quickly, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Now, before I turn this over to Secretary Levine, I'd like to extend a special thank you to community health nurses in honor of World Nurses Day. As we reopen our Commonwealth, we will increasingly rely on community health nurses who form the backbone of our contact tracing program. Community health nurses have always been essential to the health and well-being of Pennsylvanians, and now they're even more important, and they deserve the gratitude from all of us.
Well, Aneri, thank you so much for coming and talking to us about this today. Really important stuff.
Thanks for having me.
Aneri Patani is a reporter for Spotlight PA. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Be safe and well. We'll see you Monday.